So glad. Thank you for being here. And again, happy Mother's Day. I'm so thankful for my mom. She's here in the house. I'm thankful for all my moms. I got my mother-in-law in Florida, my mom right here, and I got the mother of my children, Karen, and just thankful for all of them. And I have, when I think of them combined, I really think about this word that we're going to talk about today, and that word is faithfulness. And thank you for the faithfulness of moms in my life. And today I want to kind of go beyond that to just mom, because God called all of us to faithfulness. And we're in a series called The Fruit of the Spirit. And one of the fruit that we're looking at is faithfulness. You see in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. We talked about patience last week. Next week we're going to talk about kindness and goodness. I'm kind of swapping it around here, okay? It's all good, but today we're going to talk about faithfulness. Faithfulness, and this is a wonderful list, and this is what God, this list right here, this is, if you notice, the fruit is singular. It's not a pick and choose. God wants all of us to have all of these characteristics that would reflect who Jesus is, reflect who God is. He wants all of these things reflected in our lives, and the Holy Spirit of God is going to be working in our lives to do all these things. And so faithfulness. And I got to tell you, faithfulness is a tough one. Because faithfulness in our world today is fading. Today, faithfulness is going south. People are losing faithfulness. Many of us have the bad taste of unfaithfulness in our mouth. The broken business contract. The violated marriage vow. Right? The backstabbing friend. We just hate unfaithfulness, and we don't want anything to do with it. I think Solomon, he resonated with this as well, and I think what he had to say in Proverbs resonates, speaks so well to our culture that we're in. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6, he says, many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person, who can find? Who can find a faithful person? And so the idea of faithfulness is fading. And the reason it's fading is because it takes courage. It takes discipline, commitment. It takes integrity to carry it through. Faithfulness means that you stick with the project even after the shine is worn off. Faithfulness, it means you blast through a relational quitting point even though every fiber of your being is screaming to get out. Faithfulness means that you stick to your words no matter the cost. Faithfulness, it means that you stay true in your relationship with Jesus Christ regardless of the pressure from this world to pull us aside. Faithfulness, we just don't see very much of it in our world today. And I know that we all desire, in this room, we all desire to become people of faith. But in and of ourselves, we can't do it on our own. Now, if you're like me, I marvel at times at my own lack of unfaithfulness. But here's what I know, and this is the wonderful truth, is that God loves you. He loved me so much that he wants to take unfaithful human beings like us, and he wants to transform us to become faithful human beings. And it's difficult. It's a supernatural process. We can't do it on our own. But God is faithful. He's supernatural. He is in the change process. It's what he wants to do. And the Bible promises that at the moment we make a faith decision and ask Jesus in our life, the Holy Spirit, he delegates to the Holy Spirit to work in us 24/7, nonstop, producing fruit after fruit after fruit. And this fruit of faithfulness is what he wants to see us become, to become faithful human beings. This morning, I have a big idea. Every sermon that I preach, I have a big idea. And this is the big idea that I want to get today. And if you take, it's on your handout notes. In order to live faithfully towards the future, You must, you need to keep an eye on God's faithfulness in the past. To live faithfully towards what's ahead, you've got to keep an eye on God's faithfulness in the past. Now, recently I shared how Nathan, he passed the driving test, and it was a great day for him, you know. And I was reminded in the back seat, the driving instructor, you know, the man that was giving the test, he was checking all the boxes. He had a couple pages long for all the boxes to check off. And one of the things that he kept watching Nathan's eyes. And he looked at his eyes to see that he was checking his mirrors every 8 to 10 seconds. You know, and Nathan, you know, he was doing all the things that he was supposed to do. And I thought, man, what a powerful illustration today. And I want to look at two parts of the card that really kind of take this message to the point I'm trying to make. And that first one is that rear view mirror. Looking behind. If you're taking notes, the rear view mirror represents God's faithfulness in the past. The rearview mirror represents the faithfulness of God in the past. And many times in the Old Testament, we'll see a prophet or a leader. He would recount. He would tell the story how God was faithful and kept his promises to the Israelites. Now, it might have been a reference to Noah. And Noah was told by God to build an ark. By faith, Noah built an ark. It had never rained before. It had never flooded before. And God said, it's going to rain. It's going to flood. But I'm going to save your family, but you have to build an ark. And Noah did. And God was faithful and saved Noah and his family in the ark. When Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, and they're at the Red Sea, and the enemy, the Egyptians, right, they're pressing in. And the Israelites, they have nowhere to go. They're trapped. But God made a way. Right smack dab down the middle of the Red Sea, he made a path. And he was faithful, and he carried them through. When Jesus was crucified on a cross, and he was buried in a tomb, everyone thought it was over. But Jesus had already promised, destroy this temple in 3 days, I will build it again. And the only reason this morning that you are sitting here in church is because Jesus Christ kept his word, walked out of his grave, and was faithful. He is faithful. And there's a passage in 2 Timothy that reveals the nature of God in faithfulness. 2 Timothy chapter 2, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. If you are trying to live for Christ and you're taking steps to live by his Spirit, then when you become faithless, because that happens to all of us, he remains faithful. It's who he is. It's what he does. He is faithful. Toward the end of Jesus' famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, he draws a comparison between the goodness and faithfulness of an earthly father to the heavenly father. He said in verse number 9 in chapter 7, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, how many will give him a snake? He said, you wouldn't do that. He said in verse 11, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gift to your children, then how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? You see, he's a good father. He always has been good for us. And if we look in the rearview mirror of our lives, if we're paying attention, we see those moments of faithfulness. God is so faithful. I read this article this past week, and we're talking about the author was writing, we're talking about God winks. And we're talking about those moments in his life where God was winking. Hey, I got you. I'm still faithful. You know, if I can take care of people back then, I'll take care of you right now. Stand on the promise. Stand on my faithfulness. God wins. And I was thinking about that, the God wins in my life. In the past week, I wrote some things down. And some of those moments of God's faithfulness in the rearview mirror of my life. I've seen how God has been faithful with my hearing loss, 80% hearing loss. And as a child, we were told that it would be a life of challenge, a life of struggle. But God has been faithful. And I've seen how God has been faithful in helping Karen and I to serve in ministry. This year, we've been serving in ministry together for 25 years. God has been faithful. And good. It's not always been easy. There were times where we didn't know how we were going to pay the bills. There were times where we were like, man, God, listen, you call me to it, you will see me through it. And he always has. I've seen how God has been faithful in over 14 years of Lake Point Church. We started this church in 2010, which is me and Karen and a few other people. And we weren't sure. There were times where we didn't know if we were going to make it. But God has been so good, so faithful. And every moment that we've seen has been a God wink. Where God would say, hey, I've got you. I'm here for you. I'm faithful. That's the rearview mirror. It's God's faithfulness in the past. The second part of this message is the windshield. We got the rearview mirror, but we got the windshield. And the windshield is 80 to 90 times bigger than the rearview mirror. And that's for a reason. Because we're supposed to spend more of our time looking ahead in the present, looking towards what God is going to do next. We have the rearview mirror to peek and to see those God winks, those moments, but God reminds us of his faithfulness as we continue to progress ahead in the life that we have. I love the statement, and if you're taking notes, because God has been faithful in our past, we can trust him with our future. We can trust him with our future. So the windshield represents God's faithfulness in the future. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. He said, because God has been so good in the past and faithful in the past for thousands of generations, we can keep trusting him ahead. We can keep looking out the windshield in the future, knowing that he will continue to be the faithful God. One of my favorite verses of scripture is 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. He is just and will forgive us our sins and purify us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And to me, this is a game changer. Our faithful God promises forgiveness and salvation in heaven for eternity to those who put their trust and faith in him. And the result is this, is that believers don't have to die with no hope. Believers do not live as those that have no purpose. Believers don't struggle as those that have no strength. We do not suffer as those who have no joy. We do not fear because of those who have no faith. Why? Because God is a faithful God. And we put our trust in him. In early 2001, I had the most important meetings of my life. It was the most difficult, challenging, scariest meeting I ever had. See, Carrie and I, we were dating. And I pulled up in the driveway of her mom and dad's house. Karen wasn't at home. I made sure of that. I had an appointment with her dad. And I walk in, he let me in, I sit at the kitchen table. I said, Mr. Kyle, I'm in love with your daughter, and I want to marry her. I'd like to receive your permission. I'd like to have your blessing and have your daughter's hand in marriage. I was shaking. I mean, I'm sweating bullets. Knees are knocking. I mean, this is intense. So Mr. Kyle, he looks at me and says, Scott, okay, let me ask you some questions. I said, okay. I said, are you going to promise that you'll always be by her side? I said, yes, sir. No matter what, yes, sir. For better or for worse, yes, sir. You know, in sickness and in health. I said, yes, sir, I'll always be there. I said, you know, Scott, she could be a real pill. I said, I have no idea what you're talking about, sir. Well, it's going to come out. You're going to stick with her? Yes, sir. Here's what he was doing. Carrie's dad was calling me to a higher level of faithfulness. To a higher level. And that's what this message is all about. I want you to see that God's faithfulness can motivate you to be faithful. A person of your word. A person that, you know, when you make a promise made, it's being kept. God's example of faithfulness can inspire us to be faithful. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassion, it never fails. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Now I think back to my childhood in church. We were there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night church. I mean, we were there. I cut my teeth on the back of those wooden pews. My teeth markers still there. And I would listen to, about once a month, the music director would come up to the pulpit and he would say, hey, open up the hymnals to that great hymn of the faith. Greater thy faith. And I can remember as a young child, as a young adolescent, I was listening in, kind of mouthing the words. But I tell you, the ones that really sang that song, the one that had, you know, just had some confidence. I mean, they just bellow it out. Were the older people in the congregation. And I was like wondering, I said, man, why are they singing so big? Why are they singing so drawn from the depth of their souls? Why? We're singing, greater is thy faithfulness. Greater is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, your hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And I wonder why they were singing so loud. And over time, I figured it out. You see, these elderly saints, they had experienced thousands and thousands of answers to prayer. They had experienced the Holy Spirit comforting them, loving them in times of loss. In times of divorce, in times of struggles, in times of trial, they've experienced the mighty hand of God. And so they had a lot of God's trustworthiness underneath their belt, so to speak. They could sing, greater thy faithfulness, with such great conviction, because they knew that the faithfulness of God was something they could stand on. I heard a sermon recently, and the preacher was talking about a small group that he was in. He was leading a small group, and it was a parenting group. And there was application time in the small group, and they were kind of going around the room, and all the parents were kind of sharing maybe a best practice, you know, that they do with their family. And one of the parents spoke up about a bedtime routine that they did every night for every child that they had, from as little as they can be all the way up to their teenage years. They said every night we would tuck our kids and we would ask our kids four questions. The four questions were, number one, little Johnny, little Becky, do mommy and daddy love you? Yes. Do mommy and daddy want what's best for you? Child would say yes. Do mommy and daddy like to give you good gifts? Child said yes. And the fourth question is, will you trust mommy and daddy? Yeah. And the pastor said, man, that's awesome. And the small group, he said, man, why those four questions? Why do you ask those four questions to your kids every night? And the parent responded that the reason they do it is because those are the four questions that God is always asking us. Do I love you? Do I want what's best for you? Do I like to give you good things? Will you trust me? I love that. I love what Deuteronomy chapter 32 says, verse 4. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. You can count on him. He's dependable. He's got your back. He will never let you down. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess in Jesus Christ, that salvation, right, that blessed hope. He says, for he who promised it, oh, he's faithful. He's faithful. Look at how God's word describes our Lord Jesus in Revelation chapter 19. He said, I saw heaven standing open. And there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. You know, growing up, many of us were given nicknames. You probably think about that nickname you have. And a lot of times the nicknames, you know, forgiven, you know, to describe who you were. If you were in middle school and you had red hair, maybe they call you Red, you know. When I was in middle school and I played sports, I was standing, but my elbows were all over the place, knocking people down left and right. I mean, I had the flying elbows. And so my nickname in school was Wild Man Blanchard. How about the nickname? And then, you know, in the last, recently, as a pastor, they called me, you know, another nickname. Some of you might call me this. It's called the Deaf, D-E-F, the Deaf Shepherd. All right? So, nicknames. I think about my son. He has a nickname. He's kind of like me when I was in high school, middle school. You know, his nickname is the Slim Reaper. You know, he just takes people out. Abigail. My 11-year-old daughter, I don't know, she's an LP kid. She was here in the first service. Abigail, her nickname is Yappigail. Always yapping. Nicknames, right? They embody how you look or how you act. In many ways, it's who you are. And I want you to catch this. I want you to catch this. God's word says that Jesus' nickname is Faithful and True. Out of all the attributes, out of all the characteristics, out of all the names that we have, the one that describes the creator of the universe, the lover of your soul, the one who died for us, the nickname of the one who shall be breaking through the clouds when the trumpet sound. His name is faithful and true. And so let his faithfulness motivate you to be faithful. And when it's hard to trust God because of those circumstances, when those circumstances seem to contradict the promises of God, we can remember in the rearview mirror the history of God's faithfulness. Let that rearview mirror, let that rearview image keep you focused through a windshield of faith. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, the right time, in his due time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Stay faithful. Don't give up. God is in the business to help you to be faithful. But we have to submit to him. Let the Holy Spirit help you to stay faithful. Don't be tired of it. Keep doing good, because in God's right timing, the fruit of your reward, the fruit of your faithfulness will one day pay off. And here's the hard reality. And the hard reality is this, that you may never see the reward of that faithfulness. You may never see it. I'm reminded of the story of a famous missionary. His name is Adoniram Judson. And Adoniram Judson, back in 1812, went to a remote country called Burma, today now Myanmar, and served the Lord on that mission field from 1812 to 1850 for 38 years. And it was hard. He was tortured. He was chained. He was thrown in prison. His wife, she died. He went into a deep, deep depression, sat at her grave every day for months. But regardless of all the hardship, Judson remained faithful. He served the people. He shared the gospel. He worked passionately on translating the Bible in the Burmese language. You see, the Burmese people didn't even have a Bible in their own language, and Judson was going to make sure that he was going to get a Bible in their language. In 1850, he died. And at that time, there were around 20 professing Christians after 38 years. 20 professing Christians. No churches. Needless to say, his reward for faithfulness didn't come in his life. He never saw it. A few years ago, there was a ceremony celebrating the 150-year anniversary of the Burmese Bible. Big celebration. They invited some dignitaries from different, you know, from America to come over, and you know, they had religious leaders. That American leader, one of the American, was a politician, he kind of showed up, and in front of him, there was this old tattered Bible in the Burmese language, and he kind of opened it up, and in small print on that very first page, it said these words, translated by Reverend A. Judson. And the leader, he didn't know who he was. He looked at the translator next to him and said, who is this man? And this interpreter, his name was Matthew. He said, oh, that man. This is 150 years later, he started weeping. Matthew started weeping and said, oh, that man. We all know him. You see, we know how he loved the Burmese people. We know how he suffered for the gospel. Because he loved us so much. And died a poor man, but he left this Bible. This very Bible right here. And when he died, there were only a few believers. No churches. But today, there are over 600,000 Christians. And every single one of us can trace our spiritual heritage all back to one man, Adoniram Judson. You see, Judson never got to see that. He wasn't here long enough to see it. But in God's due time, his faithfulness reaped and harvest a reward. And it's the same for all of us. Because we're called to faithfully invest our lives in things that are hard. And it's so tempting to quit and give up. Paul said, don't grow weary in doing good. Don't give up. Because one day, whether in this life or the next, your reward will come. And it's going to be awesome. And so for us to live faithfully now and toward the future, you keep looking at the windshield of faith. Being reminded of the rearview mirror of what God did in the past. If he was faithful then, he will be faithful now. God is faithful. I want to close out this message by asking you four questions. Four questions. And I want you to answer out loud, only if you feel comfortable with a yes. And only say yes if you truly believe it. You ready? Does God love you? Does he do what's best for you? Does he want to give you good gifts? Will you trust him? Our Heavenly Father, we ask you to help us today. Help us to be people of faithfulness in a world that's lacking. There's unfaithfulness everywhere. But God, help us today to produce this fruit that you want to produce. And to trust you, because we know what you did in the past, you will be faithful in the future. God, help us to trust you even when it's hard, even when it's difficult, even when it doesn't make sense. Help us to keep at it. Help us not to grow weary in doing the right thing and stay faithful. We thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit who continues to work in our lives to bring to fruition the wonderful fruit of the Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.